Praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to share a word that I thought is very appropriate for us, because as I remember Lighthouse, I remember Mom's preaching and Dad Nolan's preaching, very foundational. And last year in our church, we went through a difficult moment that related to some of doctrines that we were, anyway, something happened in our church, and it was a bit difficult. And at that time, you know who I was thinking about? I was thinking about Dad Nolan. I said, oh, wow, I'm so happy that I have met and I have been under this ministry and resourceful, solid teaching. And a lot of things came back to my mind. And then when we went to Benin to do a mission in Africa, I was bringing some of the jungle stories. So I was thinking of Mom Nolan's also with all their storytelling. So it's good to see you here in Hong Kong, Mom. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So I know that a book that Pastor Steve was always talking very highly, I think it was his favorite book of the Bible, was the book of Ephesians. You always talk so highly of the content, the spiritual content. So I want to share on the Ephesians this morning. And you see the title just beside me here. God's revealed treasure, because there are so many treasures in the Bible. So we will not have time to look at all of it because it's so, so rich. But I want to start with that. Lord God, thank you for blessing your word. And Lord, your word is so lively, it's so powerful, it's so building us, Lord, edifying, Lord, oh God, hallelujah, it's transforming. God, it is inspiring and motivating, Lord. Your word is alive, and it builds us up, Lord, to God, to know you, to discover how good you are, and to follow you and be actively involved in the plan that is unfolding. Right now, all the confusions that we have in the world and all the uncertainties, Lord, but we have a treasure. We have a foundation. We are standing on the rock of your word, oh God. And we receive comfort and security and peace in the midst of all the storms that are taking place all over the world. Thank you for your word, O Lord, and inspire us this morning, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the Ephesians is called oftentimes the queen of epistles because there's a good reason, and the most sublime communication ever made to man. And I believe it so, so strongly. So this morning I propose we go straight to the heart of God's message. And Paul is introducing himself in his word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul has three times he mentions about himself, and he used different titles in the book of Ephesians. The first one is if he talks about I'm an apostle. Another place he's called himself a prisoner of Christ. In another place, he calls himself like a minister or a servant of the gospel. So it is so rich. He has such an anointing. And the word that Paul used a lot in Ephesians is the word revealed. A lot of things are being revealed to Paul. The gospel has been revealed to Paul. The mysteries of the Gentiles and the Jews becoming one in Christ. And there's a lot of things that we learn from the Apostle Paul. Paul writes to the saints. So he writes to, I think when he used the word saints, it is a noble name. It is a name special that he identifies with the saints. This is a special people. It is a group of people that are different from the rest of the world. They are the saints, those who belong to Christ, those who are following Christ, those who are walking in the plan of God and the holiness of the Lord. So this is a very special title that we enjoy for ourselves, and those who are faithful in Christ. And I would like to focus on more the text. from verse 3 to verse 14. Actually, we will not make it all this morning because there's too much in that. But the verse 3 to 14, it's an original Greek. It's only one sentence. It's not broken in different parts. It is a one sentence. I think Paul, when he was writing under the anointing of the Lord, was inspired, and it was given to him, and he just writes, and then here it came. You're just like that under the inspiration, one breath. So before we go to the text, I want to look at some expression that Paul used in the first chapter that are very meaningful to us to gain some perspective. And you see the list of some of the scripture here. I think it's very good. And verse 3, of course, we will see it in a moment. God is the Father is the source of blessings. We'll talk about it. But let's look at the other one. Verse 5, the expressions that Paul is, how Paul's mind works when he's writing to us about God. According to the good pleasure of his will. That's one of the expressions that is very, very strong. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 9, according to the benevolent purpose that he had formed in himself. And verse 11, according to the purpose of him who works out all things in conformity with the counsel of his will. And verse 12 and 14 use the same expression, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. So when you look at all of this list and you put it together, it gives us an insight into Paul's mind. So many times when we go to church, we go to receive. We want to receive healing. We want to receive a blessing. We want to be comforted. It often turns to ourselves. And it's okay because we are human beings. We are weak and we need God's grace. But Paul is giving us another outlook. You come to church. You read the scriptures. You relate to God. So God is the focus. God has a will, and the will of God is good, for the good pleasure of his will. The purpose and the plan of God are benevolent. They are good plans. God wants our good that he had formed in himself. And to the purpose of him who works all things, God works. God is having a plan that is unfolding into this world in conformity with the counsel of his will. It is his own mind. God rules the world. God is the one who has an eternal plan. Before the foundation of the world, as we will see, God has already something in mind for you, for me, for the whole world, from generation to generation. God is great. God is eternal. God, before the foundation of the world existed, and God has a plan. And this plan is unfolding, and we are coming nearer to the end of his plan as for what concerns human beings. Amen? Amen. So let's think about the intelligence of God, the will of God, the intention of God, the purpose that God has, instead of thinking always about our tiny needs and our tiny ourselves and our self-gratification. Let's turn our focus to the greatness of what God wants to do, what God has been doing, what God is finishing to do. Wow. I was thinking this morning as we were singing, one of the greatest picture of the book of the Bible, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 5, I think, it's who is worthy to break the seal. Who is worthy? And then John says, nobody was worthy. And he was crying in sadness that nobody was worthy to open and the unfolding plans of God, that what God was doing in his glory. Nobody in the whole world was worthy. But then there was a lamb that had been killed, that had died, and the lamb that was alive again, he was the only one worthy. And it is, again, a picture of how God is thinking to sending his son, Jesus Christ, for us, the only one worthy. When we put all of these expressions that you see on the screen together, what do we learn about God? Instead of coming to focus on ourselves, we focus on the person of God, how God acts according to his will, how God's plan is a good plan, a plan for your good, for my good, and all this. And also, it is to celebrate. We come together to celebrate the glory of Him. This is the purpose why we are coming, and that's good, because that's what we do this morning in the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, let's look at this, what we're talking about, God's treasure chest. I'm sorry if I speak some French sometimes. My mind will be for confused a bit. Paul announced his theme, and it is the God's revealed treasure chest. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Every spiritual blessing means all sorts of complete, the whole package, all kinds. Like, think of something, God has already included it in this. What does it mean to be blessed with every spiritual blessing? I want to focus on certain word in this one. We have to make a distinction. Here we say spiritual blessings. Because many times when you hear the word blessing, you think about material blessing. It's like temporary because it belongs to our nature, our needs, and all of this. But here it says every spiritual blessing. So He's lifting us up above our worldly or our human nature. He's going above that. God has given us something better, greater than only to satisfy our earthly needs. He's thinking about our eternity. He's thinking about our salvation. So He's going to give us bigger promise than anything that we can imagine in our earthly realms. And here He says about the distinction we must be making is between spiritual and material blessing. And the heavenly realms is almost another expression, emphasizing the source or the origins of that blessing. It is in the heavenly that are these blessings are coming to us. So it's the source, but it's also the perfections of that blessing. It's also the quality of that blessing. These are not earthly, made by man, something that is smart. It is something that is perfect. It is coming from the heaven itself. And then it emphasized this. In the spiritual, it means that these blessings are not primarily to address our earthly needs with material circumstances and wealth and health and physical security. That's not the point of that verse here. We are going, as I said, we're going higher than that. God, for sure, is good, and He knows what we are made. We are human beings. We have needs. He is going to take care of our needs. He promised it. We have, and the New Testament is all over the place. First, seek the kingdom of God. Father God knows what you need, and He will give you all things above and above. Give, and it will be given to you. And the New Testament is filled of scriptures addressing our human needs. Don't worry. You don't worry about what you eat and everything. So there's fun. But this morning, we're not talking about this. We're talking about another kind of spiritual blessing. We're going higher than that. And here, God is often intervening in our material needs, but that's not the point. Spiritual blessing does not guarantee the absence of sufferings or the problems. Every human being, we have our share of difficulties, sadness, problems of different kinds. You know, when Paul wrote this wonderful, wonderful letter, where was he? He was in prison. And in this letter, there is no sense of a guy that is in prison. He's not complaining. He's not describing his misery, what he doesn't have, you know, all the mistreatment that he has. Not a single place Paul is describing his own misery in this one. He is in prison, but he focuses on the blessing of God. He's focusing on the greatness of the Lord. And he's speaking of blessings with joy. Another word here is being in Christ. Being in Christ doesn't mean a life without suffering, but it means a life full of God. Even if you go through trials, you can still enjoy a life full of God's presence, God's strength, God's comfort, God's goodness, and realize that even if you are going through a difficult time, a time of uncertainties, a time where it's difficult to make decisions, a time where you feel a bit confused, God is with you, and God is real, and God is, he loves you so much. Think about all the people who are suffering for their faith in the world. Anil knows that a lot, because he often goes and travels into specifically into these countries where our brothers are suffering because of their faith. So they enjoy the blessing of God. They are being redeemed, but they still have to go through some kind of a hell on earth, you know, to keep their faith, to protect their faith, and to express their faith as a human being. So what about you? Are you struggling this morning, or suffering, or do you have any sickness in your body, or are you going through a dark time in your life, a time of discouragement? That does not mean that God is abandoning you because you are going there. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith. It doesn't mean that you are lacking of something in relation to God. It just means that you are a human being. But don't forget that God is love and he loves you so much. It doesn't mean that you are lacking faith. You know, the word of God says, who can separate me from the love of God? Misfortune, worry, suffering, poverty? No, nothing will ever separate us from the word of God. So even if you are going through these sorts of earthly difficulties this morning, don't be discouraged. Don't condemn yourself. Don't be afraid. Don't feel that God has abandoned you, because he has not. God has blessed us with all sorts of spiritual blessings in Christ and the heavenlies. Wow. You can have a full life of God. Amen? Amen. You can have a full life of God even when things are going well. Or even when things are not going well, you still can have a full life of God. In the book of Ephesians, I think you have heard it many, many times, but in 28 times, you have the expression, in Jesus. And that speaks of a personal relationship. And many modern Bible translations translate in Jesus, like in union with Jesus Christ, which I like a lot because it focuses on the relationship with Jesus Christ. God has already given us, in union with Jesus Christ, every spiritual blessings for our salvations, for the fulfillment of God's plan regarding our lives. Wow, what are these blessings? These blessings are spiritual, but because they are good blessing and perfect blessing from God, they affect our material life. Understand what I'm trying to say. Because when you know that God loves you, that God is really meeting your needs in all of these things and the spiritual blessings that you have received, it will affect your material life. It will give you assurance. It will give you security. It will bring peace in the storm. And you will be able to make better judgment, better decisions. So your earthly life is affected by the spiritual blessings that God has given to you, because one will not be disconnected by the other. Let's go to the next one. We're entering the treasure chest of God. In him, before the laying of foundation of the world, God chose us to be holy his own, or the saints, and blameless before him. Another Bible version here may be more similar to what you have read in your Bible. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And then, whatever Bible you are using, no translator are agree or interpret it in the same way. Some put the expression in love at the end of verse 4, and some put in love at the beginning of verse 5. So it doesn't matter, because this is in love is working in verse 4, and it is working in verse 5. So when we read that, God wants us to be holy and without fault in his eyes, in love, in his love. It is always in his love that we functions. You have certainly asked yourselves, why did God choose me? Because here that's the point. Before the foundation of the world, God chose you. This is deep, and this is a bit difficult to understand in our life, in our limited mind. Why did God choose me? What's so special about me that God chose me? It is difficult to understand. God chose us to demonstrate that salvation depends on Him. He is the author of salvation. He is the one that has made the plan of salvation, and He has included you in that plan. Number two, He saved us according to His good pleasure, because He is good. It is for His good pleasure. That is pleasing God to save you. So that is already encouraging, according to His benevolent plan. Number three, He wanted you to be part of His plan. He chose you because He wants you, because you are important in His eyes. You're not just like a nobody. Sometimes we think that God loves everybody, but me, I'm not really worthy of His love. I'm somewhat disconnected of His love, or I'm too small. I don't know. It's strange how we see ourselves sometimes. But God is reaffirming His love to you and to me this morning. He wants you to be part of His plan, actively involved in His plan. So God chose you out of love. You know, God did not choose you because of your goodness, because we are corrupted by sin. God chose you out of His love so that He will save you from sin. And then you can belong to Him, be holy in His sight, be something that is, you will become someone who is pleasing to the Lord. You know, when a mother or father, you see your little child starting to progress and doing some smart things, how proud we are to see that. So God, when He sees you engaged in His plan, and He sees you trusting in Him and understanding that His love, you make God happy. And that's what we read in this one here. This is a truth that is surpassing our understanding. From eternity, before any elements of nature ever existed, God loved us. He planned to redeem us and save us eternally. It is hard to understand that when you talk about eternity. Let's go to the next verse, verse 5. This is so wonderful. So here I put the in love at the beginning of verse 5. In love, God, in many of the Bible, it says predestined. And predestined has been so controversial word. I don't like the word predestined personally, because I think it confuses us. And some people says, you're predestined. We don't understand what it means. Maybe someone is destined to, and the other ones is not destined to. No. I don't accept that, because it doesn't fit with God's love and God's word. So in love, God, let me put it in this way, decided in advance, or determined beforehand, or had predetermined to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. I love it. You read the scriptures and you see always the pleasure of God, the goodness of God toward you. That's what Paul is expressing, according to His good pleasure and will, according to the benevolent design of His will. That is what Paul is telling us this morning. When you consider the broader context of what Paul writes, it helps us to understand that God's plan and method are predetermined. Let me give you my understanding of predestination. I think that will help you as well. I'll use an illustration. Let's say that either the government or an association in Hong Kong announced the good news that whoever shows up at the entrance of a Hong Kong exhibition center on April 30 will receive a free admission ticket, and it will include free games, free food. April 30, If you go there on that day, you receive this. So what does that mean? It means that it's not the government who choose a person come in and another person to reject. Anyone can come on that day. The condition is not that person is chosen or that person is rejected. The condition is for everyone who comes and meet the requirement of that free entrance. It's April 30. You come on April 30, whoever you are, and you can come, free entrance, free food, free games. Amen? Does that help you? So it's not a selection of individual. It's the plan. It's the determination of the method that is being determined in advance. So it's just, that's how I understand the predestination. So it's the plan. It's open to everyone. It is the method of obtaining the prize that is predetermined. And in the same way, God, according to the loving design of his will, don't forget, because God is always loving, his plan are benevolent, it is in his love. So because of his loving design of his will, he has decided beforehand that we, you, who were to put our trust in Christ, we would be adopted children. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So the method, the predestination, is the plan of salvation, how to get saved in Jesus Christ. And the example I mentioned, this was April 30, go to the entrance door, and then you will be let in freely. Whoever. So in the salvation is whoever believes in Jesus. The plan has been predetermined, how to get saved, how to go to heaven. It is go in Jesus. The plan is predetermined before the foundation of the world. That has helped me a lot to understand in this one. An adoption story, also to illustrate. Let's say someone goes to, let's say, Chile, and he sees a street child, a little girl, who is forced to commit crimes. And then he feels sadness and compassion and decide to sponsor the education of that little girl by paying all the expenses. This is, we will say, a great act of kindness, isn't it? You have compassion, you see the misery of that child, and then you want to set her free of that, so you will pay for education, like a sponsor of education. Many organizations do that. But out of love, he goes a step further. This is already a good act of goodness to sponsor the studies. But he says, I want to adopt this child in my family. Wow, this is a step beyond that. He goes further than that. It is according to the good pleasure of his will that this person is doing that. It goes beyond compassion. He goes everything, so he decides to adopt. So this is how God demonstrated the infinite riches of his grace when he decided to adopt us. He goes beyond the great act of goodness. He adopts us in his family. According to Paul, there is another reason why we choose to adopt us. It is to serve to the praise of the glory of his grace. I love the language that Paul is using in the book of Ephesians. The praise of the glory of his grace. Wow, what a language. Which he has poured out on us and his dearly beloved Son. You know, everything that God does, as we have seen many times, he has a determination. He does everything, plan, with intention. He's not just aiming, blindly here and there. God has had a plan. God's going somewhere with everything that he thinks, everything he decides, everything that he orchestrates. God has a specific plan that regards our future. God does everything for a reason. He intends to do. He has a goal. And as we have seen many times repeated in this text, everything that he does is good. Everything that he does is for your good. It's benevolent. God revealed his divine character. So our salvation is a celebration to the praise. Our testimony, when you tell someone how you were and that God has saved you from this and that, And now that your life has been changed, remember, for those of us, many in the church in the past years with Sister Janice, we would do an evangelism explosion, and then we would do the testimony part before Christ, then I received Jesus Christ, and after Christ. Before Christ, I used to be like this and have this problem in my life, and this is how my bad character or my bad characteristics was in this way. Then I met Jesus Christ, and then in the testimony, we would learn how Jesus has changed us, and now we are not functioning like in the past. We are a new creation. So when you give a testimony to anybody of your experience, of your salvation experience, you are serving to the praise of the glory of His grace. You are telling people how God is so powerful. It brings praise to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
You know, while I was myself living apart from God, you know, God had already a plan for me. This is deep to understand. While we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. He demonstrates His love to us. It's full of the scriptures like that in the New Testament. The key verse of "Who oi" that will come next week. You know, everything is past, everything has become you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We are a new creation. Everything God does is beautiful. God builds beauty in your life. He does something better than you can on your own. He gives you hope. He gives you a destiny. He gives you a future. He gives you something good. That is the nature of God. Amen?
Amen.
This is so good when you realize it. So that I might celebrate the glory of His grace, which He lavished on us and the one He loves. And then the next, and we will finish with the next verse. I think this is my favorite verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to the riches of God's grace. Wow. So when we talk about God's revealed treasure chest, we're already done. God chose us before the world was made. He already had a predetermined plan to adopt you as His child. And now look at more in the treasure chest. We are going deeper and finding something new again. We have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sin. And again, look at this expression. In accordance with what? With the riches of God's grace. I recently did a research on grace, the word grace, in the language of Paul, the Apostle Paul. And that has really showed me something. The Apostle Paul used grace in his own writings from 100 to 130, because sometimes it's the word grace or related words, but up to 130 times, just him alone and his writing. The other apostles who wrote in the New Testament together are 60 times. Paul alone, 130 times. That tells you something. If you remove the theology of grace from Paul, there's a lot of things we will not understand about grace. How many great men of God has been saved because of the writing of Paul about grace? Martin Luther is one of them, and we know that. And many other, Calvin, and many people, and the great Reformation time came because grace was rediscovered. But if you remove the writing of Paul about grace, there's a lot about grace that we will have never understood theologically speaking. So praise the Lord for that. So again, in that verse, it's accordance the riches of God's grace. And it's always, Paul is always celebrating God's grace. He's always exalting God's grace throughout this letter. Wow, it is so wonderful. So in Him we have redemption through His blood. And the Old Testament, I think you know that a lot. I'm just telling you something you already know. It comes from Leviticus, obtaining freedom from slavery through payment. And this is like a ransom that Jesus, our Redeemer, paid already. So he has delivered us forever from our former master, our enemy, an accuser, the one who wants to destroy you. And if you look at the contrast, your enemy is determined, his plan is to do you harm, is to destroy you, kill, destroy, lie, pervert, all of this. And then we keep reading about God's his intention, benevolent, the pleasure of his will, and love. It's such a contrast. It's such a contrast. So Paul is telling us that Jesus has paid this ransom to deliver us forever from our former master. Before Jesus, we had a master, the enemy. He was having an effect, an influence on our lives. But in Jesus Christ, we have obtained redemption, freedom. We now legally belong to the one who redeemed us. We have a new life of freedom. So that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word redemption comes from the Greek, the act of freeing completely. Set free. I remember when I believed in Jesus, I had been a slave of drugs for 9 years. And one night, my conversion, my sinner's prayer, that night, I was set free. Before, I had thrown drugs in the toilet. I had burned. I had thrown in the trash can, telling myself I'm not going to touch it again. But I was always a slave. I was always going back. That night, one prayer, I came to God. I was set free completely and forever. I was never tempted. It didn't come. I remember Bridget and I, not long after our conversions, we both had a dramatic conversation with God, but conversion, I want to say. And that night when we came out of it, we were really, really born again. The 180 was perfect. And then one day we were with our friends, and marijuana was passing around, and normally we would have taken it. And then we just passed it without thinking about it. And then suddenly we look at each other and say, hey, we didn't take it. And we didn't feel about it. We were not tempted to do it or something. It was gone. It was gone. So that's the New Testament definition of redemption, the act of setting free completely. And this is so powerful. Redemption means liberation from the power of darkness and transfer it to the kingdom of the love of God. If we understand this doctrine, it will have a liberating effect on us as Christians. You know, many people are confused nowadays, and that is things that we face in many church. People are seeking deliverance, they want to set people free from evil spirits. It's very powerful. This doctrine is very popular. You have a problem? Go and have someone to pray for you. You will be set free. The evil spirit will go away. Okay, some people think like this. But for me, when I read this verse, it set me free. The word will set you free. Jesus will set you free. You are converted really in Jesus Christ. You are being set free. You are not going to continue to deal with the evil spirit all of the rest of your Christian life. And I often tell people, you know, people are stuck on the devil. Oh, the devil and the attacks of the enemy and all of this. This is all about what they think about. I say, stop thinking about the devil. Talk about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Follow Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Jesus is your everything. You will not... I was telling people, a person that asked for advice, counseling not long ago. I said, the more you will look ahead with Jesus, I said, well, all you have to do is do another step with Jesus. Even if you feel weak, it's not all gone. You are struggling. Just do the next step with Jesus. You are in the right direction. Just go on with Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're perfect or not perfect. Just do the next step. Just go. And what you will find out after a while, your past will be far away from you. The distance between your past and you will get greater, and it will be distant, and it will vanish. And now you will live in the future. You live in the present, live in the future, live with Jesus. Don't live in the past with the condemnation of the past, the regret of the past, the bad memory of the past. Live with Jesus. Look what Jesus is doing to you. Redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sin. If we understand three words, redemption, forgiveness, and grace, wow, it will change how you see yourself. It will change how you see God. It will change you about your future, how you work, how you speak, how you present yourself, the choices in your life. Everything will be different. The word sins here, the redemption here, the remission of your sin. Sin is paraptoma. It's not, there are a few words for sin in the New Testament. One is amartia, the one that we are more likely to understand is missing the mark. But here, paraptoma is a different word. It's a falling aside. It's a slip. You slip and you fell. Yeah, that's more this way. It means unintentional error that you make or willful transgression. You slip. And then it says you receive in Jesus Christ remission of sin. Remission means free of, a letting go, a sending away, a putting away. Remember the story of the servant whose debt was forgiven by the master? The debt was remitted. The debt did not exist anymore. It was canceled. It was abandoned by the master. He was set free. He was released from his debt. This is what Jesus does for every one of us, according again to the riches of his grace. And the word here, I think, is also important for us to take a moment to meditate on it. According to the riches. According means the measure. According to the measure of grace. According to the riches of his grace. The measure of grace. Is there much grace or little grace? According to the measure. What do we read here? Riches of his grace. The measure of forgiveness equals the measure of grace. And here the grace is unlimited. Grace is the riches of grace. God forgives generously. He forgives completely. And he forgives perfectly. That means that your past no longer defines you. Too many people live with the shadow of their past, the regret, the not feeling right, not feeling enough. It's sad because it should not be. Jesus has done so much, it should release you completely. So would Brother Stephen come and take the guitar? We'll just finish with a time of prayer, please. If the other musician wants to also, as you do normally. I will invite everybody to stand with me. Are you ready to pray this morning?
Yes.
To meditate on this message from Paul and impart, like appropriate it, receive it for yourself. It's good to know about something, but it's better if you understood it for yourself. Okay, let me ask you a few questions before we pray. Do you sometimes feel unworthy of forgiveness? As if something is missing in your life. Like, I'm not quite good enough in God's sight. Do you sometimes feel that guilt that Christ has already paid for, but you still feel the guilt is there? Do you live as a redeemed person, set free, or do you still live with some captivity in your life, some areas you don't know where you stand? Also, be mindful of memory. You know, memory is a good thing, but memory is also dangerous, because memory, through the faculty of memory, you will be remembering a sinful past. But remembering a sinful past is not the same as being guilty of that past. because you've been set free. Even if the memory is there, of course, it's something that you experience in your past. But now in Christ, it has no effect on you. It's gone. It's you've been set free. The debt has been paid. So remembering something wrong you've done is not the same as being guilty. Beloved of God, if you sometimes doubt who you are and your memory bring back old sins, let Paul's message remind you of who you are in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, in His love, God chose you. Before the foundation of the world, God had predetermined a method, a plan to save you from your sin, the effect of your sin, to set you free from your old master. He had a plan before that in Christ, if you are in Christ, that you would become His beloved child completely. A child, co-heir with Christ. Your inheritance is in Christ. The epistle of Ephesians invites us to see ourselves through God's eyes. Not how we feel, but what God says. To have access to God, your redemption and forgiveness of sin must be complete and perfect, because God is holy and perfect. So that is a severe statement. God is holy and perfect, and you cannot go to God and be His child and enjoy His blessing unless your redemption in the forgiveness of sin has been completely done. And this is by faith. This is between you and Jesus Christ. Redemptions and forgiveness of our sins grant us and guarantee us a restored relationship with God. And it is very important this morning that these uncertain times in which we live right now, that we stand on this foundation. Because standing on this foundation this morning will help you to make decisions, will help you to face the future, not to be afraid. You see, many people are becoming mockers. Many people are afraid of the future. Many young people don't want to get married and have children because they see the future as dark. But if you walk with God, the future is not dark. You're going in the light. You're going toward God. You're going to your heavenly destination. You're going closer to God day by day. So you should not be afraid. You are in Christ. You belong to Him. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me this morning? Is there someone in this room as we close this service that you are not yet 100% sure that if you die today, you will go to heaven? You still have doubts. And this morning we want to clear it up once and for all. You are uncertain. You feel, you know, a shadow of doubts about the future with God. If it is the case, would you raise your hand? As your declaration of faith, we will pray with you. We will ask the Lord to move on you, the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sin and to make you new. Is there someone here this morning? You want to give your life to Jesus Christ, have peace once and for all. Thank you. Thank you. See your hand. Is there anybody else? Young, old, there's no. Or you fell away, or you felt distance, or you know that you are not close enough to God. You want to settle in your life, and you want to just put in practice what you heard this morning. Raise your hands. Our sister, would you pray with me? Father God, can you repeat after me? It's okay, you can stay there. Father God, this morning, I understand your plan. I understand your love for me. And I receive your love. I want to stand on the belief that Jesus Christ has paid the ransom of all my mistakes and sins, that you are setting me free, that I am redeemed, that all my sins are forgiven, because it is your plan, it is your will, and I accept it, Lord. I give myself to you. I know that you died because of my sin, but you rose from the dead and you went back to heaven with your blood for my perfect and eternal salvation. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free, removing my fear. Lord, I want to live with peace, assurance. I'm walking with you. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking toward you. And I'm not looking back. I have a new life, a new hope. I belong to you. Lord, thank you for accepting me and your wonderful plan. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And for all of us, let's sing this morning and let's celebrate to the praise of the riches of His grace. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's glorify God.
I love you. Oh, your mercy never fails me. Oh, my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the good.
In prayer. Amen.
I always put Jason on the spot.
Amen. And then we're going to give you one more announcement. Jason.
Father God, we thank you for your word. Yes. We thank you for Pastor Renee and Bridget and them returning and giving us a clear representation of what you did and how you died. We thank you that your grace and your mercy are new every morning.
Amen.
We thank you that we can look forward to a bright future.
Amen.
And we don't have to fear what the enemy is doing around us. We thank you. Help us to always see a clear picture of what you've done and who you are and who we are in Christ. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and grant you peace. That peace that passes all understanding, may it flood your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So, praise the Lord for a great morning. May we give you just a bit of direction? Please don't go running away.